And listen. Yeah, fire.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. Praise the Lord, everybody.
Praise God.
Amen. Praise God.
Praise the Lord again.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God on this day.
Yes.
Amen.
Today is, the scripture says, this is the day that the Lord has made.
Yeah.
We shall rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. And so, when the psalmist said that, he is really speaking about a choice that he's making. This is the day that the Lord has made, and I shall rejoice. That's a choice.
Yes.
You know, because every day we choose how we're going to view that day. It's a good day or a bad day. Good things or bad things happen. You're going to get mad or you're going to flow with it. It's all a choice. And some days we choose to make it a bad day. Because things happen, and then we go and just tell folks stuff. I will share something with you that you know and that I know, but that we both seem to forget. When something bothers you, and you tell somebody else all the things that are bothering you, you feel worse. Watch this. Let's just pretend that I went to eat some food, peaches, and I didn't like it. It was just bad food. The chicken was undercooked. The collard greens had no seasoning. The rice was soggy. And the Kool-Aid had no sugar. You know that's bad. Right? And I really didn't like it. And I'm in the restaurant and I say, you can't give me this food. The chicken is not cooked. The rice is soggy. These greens have no seasoning on it. And there's no sugar in my Kool-Aid. You don't like it, mister, then you can get out of my store. You don't have to come back here no more. Fine, I'm never coming back to your store again. And I leave. And then I go home. And I see one of my friends. I said, you know what happened to me up the street? They brought me some chicken. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
In order for me to tell that story, I got to get back into. I got to get back into all the negative and mean state of mind I was in.
Yes.
So now I did it twice. And then I go tell a third person. So no wonder by the end of the day, I'm crabby. Because I've been spending time. I'm telling you. But the flip side is also true. When good things happen to you, and you consistently walk around going, praise the Lord, glory to God, and you, right? This is a good day. It lifts you every time you say it.
Yes.
You understand? But we do this. You know that, right?
Yeah.
Oh, we love talking about somebody cut me off. How many times you going to tell? You tell your friends. You tell your spouse. You post it on Facebook. I mean, my goodness. And then you wonder why you're troubled in your spirit. Look at what you're doing to yourself.
Yeah.
Amen? That's why we got to let stuff go. Amen. Don't recount it. If you're going to recount things, recount good stuff. It'll lift your spirits. It'll strengthen you. Amen. Because this world trying to beat you up enough. Don't beat yourself up. Don't do any favors. The world trying to beat you up. Amen. Amen. So we praise God for that. Amen. So this is the day the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. Everyone have a lesson tonight? Okay, praise God. We started this, right? We were here last week, but from 2 weeks ago, we did the first half. We're going to do the second half tonight. Amen. A mission with a promise. We praise God for the lesson. Let's pray tonight first, and then we'll get into the lesson. What we're going to do, we're going to turn to Matthew 28, and look at verses 16 through 20 and just have discussion as the Lord leads us. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we give you praise and thanks on today. We thank you, God, for another day. We thank you, Lord, for continuing to watch over us and to bless us. We thank you, God, for your goodness, O God. Father, we see your goodness in our lives. And so for that, we have to say thank you. And God, now that we're here, we just ask that you will speak unto us through your word and by your spirit. Open up our eyes that we may see things we've never seen before. Touch our hearts, O God, that we may receive everything that you're speaking unto us tonight. And Father God, just be God in our midst. Show us yourself, O God. Encourage us, O God, by sharing your presence with us here tonight. And do it, God, not by might nor by power, but by your spirit. And Father, we praise you for your word that is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And we give you all the glory and all the praise because you're worthy. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Okay, so we're in Matthew chapter 28. And we have started at verses 1 through 10 when the Mary Magdalene and other women went to the tomb to anoint Jesus' body. And they got there and they found that the stone was rolled away and that he was risen just as he said. And then Jesus told them to go tell his disciples that he had risen and that he was going ahead of them into Galilee. Amen. And so now let's go to verse number 16 of Matthew 28. And let's read that from 16 through verse 20. It says, "Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Amen. Amen. And if we could turn to our outline, and let's turn to question number 7. Question 7 in our outline. And it says, Matthew doesn't actually give us a report of the women passing along the news of Jesus' resurrection to the other disciples. But this next scene implies that they did so. And that's because the disciples went into Galilee, where Jesus was. And so we just read Matthew 28, 16 to 20. It says, why is there a split reaction among the disciples when Jesus comes to them? And they're talking about verse 17, which, and let's look at it again. It says, and when they saw him, the disciples, they worshipped him. There's 11 of them now, right? But some doubted. And so why is it? And again, this is more, you know, what the scriptures say to your spirit, right? Than it is about, oh, glory to God. You know, sometimes we walk around like math, like life is a math problem. You understand what I mean? See, a math problem has an answer. Right? Christian, what's 1 plus 1? See? That's it. 1 plus 1 is 2. It's not almost 2. It's not about 2. It's not approximately 2. It's 2. Right? There's a certainty to it, right? And it allows for nothing else. But life's not like that. Some people try to live life like a math problem, though. You know what I mean? It has to be this way. See, if you live life like a math problem, you're going to get it up. See, because life is more art than science. See, art allows for you to be creative. Art allows for you to go outside the lines. But when you're math, you're like, you know, math teachers got the glasses and the tight bun that's squeezing their brain. Math teachers all over the world mad at me right now. But you understand what I mean? Life needs to be looser than that. Why? Because sometimes life doesn't go the way you want it. How many of you know that? And you got to be able to move as life moves. You know what I'm saying? Right? You gotta move. Otherwise, what are you gonna do? You're gonna break. It's like being too rigid and dry. It's easy to crack a dry branch.
Yeah.
It's easy to crack a dry branch. You give me a branch that's wet, oh my goodness. Right? It's like rubber. But give me a dry one. It snaps so easy. And so, you know, when we look at the scriptures, let's not treat it like math. This is the answer. What is God saying to you? You understand what I mean? Allow God to say something to you. Because how many know God will speak to you in a way he won't speak to somebody else, because he knows where you are is different from where they are.
True.
So in the same scripture, God's going to allow you to see this because you're dealing with a problem like this. But he's going to allow me to see something else because I'm dealing with something else. But if we all share together, we all better off, right? Alright, so now having said that, there's 11 disciples, and when some saw them, and when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And so the question is, why do you think some of them doubted? Remember, not a math problem. Don't worry.
Because all people don't think alike.
All people don't think alike. And some of them probably, so let's deal with that for a second. So there's 11 of them, and Jesus is there, he's risen. So some of them may be thinking what when they see him?
Is that really him?
So some may be saying, is that really him?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And others may be saying,
that's God.
Okay, so, and so others may, no, they're not thinking, is that him? They're saying,
they know it.
That's him. What some others might be saying. Some saying, that's him. Some saying, is that really him? What somebody else might be saying?
Could that
be him? Yeah, could that be him?
I might be calling the devil.
Right. Somebody could say, excuse my English, that ain't him. You should know how your cousin's talking, right? I mean, my cousins too.
Yeah.
That ain't him. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And yet, right, so you can have people who are in the same place, seeing the same Jesus, and coming to different conclusions.
Yeah.
And we shouldn't find that unusual. Why? Say again?
What do you say that I am? It's personal.
It's what you say?
Personal.
It's personal, right? And so, okay, so here, this happened over 2,000 years ago. And they see Jesus, excuse me, and some are saying, that's him. Some may be saying, I don't know if that's him. Some are saying, could that be him? Some are saying, that's not him. Those are my cousins. Your cousins. Yeah, right. Ain't. Right? And so here we are 2,000 years later. Why should that not be unusual for us? That in the same place, people seeing the same Jesus come to different conclusions about who he is.
It's not. Huh? Right, it's not an issue for us.
Why not?
Because we're all human. We all think differently.
Mm-hmm. We all think differently. Okay.
And we all know him to be.
Yeah. And but here's what I guess what I'm getting to. The reason why that shouldn't surprise us over 2,000 years ago, because it's happening today.
That's true. Very true.
I'm telling you now, you walk, maybe even in here, you walk into the church, and you ask people, who's Jesus?
Uh-huh.
Some will say, oh man, he's a healer. Uh-huh. I had such and such, and Jesus healed my body. Somebody else didn't get any healing, but they may know Jesus as somebody who paid their rent.
Oh,
he's my provider. Uh-huh. See, they know him like that. Uh-huh. Some may not know him like that, and they may go, he's somebody in the Bible.
Uh-huh.
You understand what I mean? And it does go back to the Jesus asking, who do you say that I am?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And that's, what is that thing? That's personal.
Yes.
Because here's the thing you have to, if there's very little that comes out of, you know, sometimes looking in the Word and who is God and what is He like? One of the things we have to understand that the God of the Bible is a God of relationships. He's a God of relationships. And what does that mean? I mean, when you think about, you know, God, when He looked at Adam in the garden, everything is perfect to us. But God saw something wrong.
He didn't have a mate.
He was alone. And He looked at him and said, it's not good for man to be alone. And so He created a woman so that man and that woman could now, that man could now have a relationship with someone. Number one. Number two, when you think about God, when He met, or when Moses met God at the burning bush, God told him, take off your shoes, because where you're standing is holy ground. And He described Himself as the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob. In other words, He said, I'm a God of Abraham. Meaning, I got relationship with Abraham. Yeah. I'm a God of Isaac. I got relationship with Isaac. I'm a God of Jacob. I got a relationship with Jacob. Don't you know God could have just said, take off your shoes, I'm God? But He didn't describe Himself like that. He described Himself in connection with man.
Yeah.
In connection with relationship. That, and when you think about it, when you say, that's my neighbor, that's relationship. When I say, who's that? Oh, that's my neighbor. That's relationship. He lives next door to you, or he lives on your block. Who's that? That's my cousin. That's relationship. Who's that? That's my coworker. That's relationship. Whenever you point to another person, you're speaking the language of relationships.
Yeah.
So when God says, I'm the God of Abraham, He points to another person, relationship. Right? And so here we are, that we have this God who's a God of relationships. And so the question then is, who is God and who is Jesus? Like in some abstract way, who is He to you? Because it's all about relationship.
Sure.
Right? And like any relationship, whether it's your spouse, your friend, your sibling, whoever, when it comes to God, when it comes to Jesus, the same things that build strong relationships in this natural world we live in are the same things that build strong relationships with God. Such as what?
Communication.
Communication. Know what that means? You have to. What does communication mean, by the way?
Conversation back and forth.
So conversation back and forth. Okay, we're gonna fine tune that some.
Okay.
Because conversation back and forth. How you doing? I'm doing fine. What are you doing? I'm going to the store. What is this? That's conversation back and forth. I know what you mean, but what you're saying is, okay, let's. It's conversation. Mm-hmm. What else is communication? Lord, would you please help us?
Transferring ideas.
Transferring ideas. Ooh. Transferring ideas. What else?
Sharing, I guess the same thing.
Okay. What did we say so far? Conversation? Sharing ideas. What else?
Communication.
No, that's the question. Communication, not communication. Bitch, you're trying to be slick on me over here. Communication is communication.
But you're dealing with other people, and you're communicating with everyone around you.
Okay.
You're not just talking to one person.
Okay.
Communicating with everyone.
Okay.
Like you do, but
I'll
listen to this room.
Okay, so that's all right.
It's a discussion.
Mm-hmm. Lord, will you help them, please?
When you commute.
When you commute. Here's the thing, I'm gonna add this to it.
Okay.
And it's a funny thing how this doesn't come up, Brother Les. A big part of communication.
Interpretation.
That's interpretation? Is talking is listening. And if we don't say that, which means we do a whole lot of talking. Do you know that communication requires you to listen?
Yeah.
Hey, you listen first and then...
Yes?
Yes.
And that, but that's why I didn't start with the back and forth. Because see, conversation back and forth sometimes could just mean people talking at each other. And how many of you know that happens a lot?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
Nobody's even listening. Because you know, if you ever have a conversation with somebody, and you know you've done it, I've done it, where I can't wait till they stop.
Yeah.
So I can say mine. I'm not even listening to them. I'm just waiting for the pause. So I can say my stuff.
Yeah.
See, that's not good communication. Good communication is I'm listening to what you're saying. Right? And then I can now say something back. Mm-hmm. Like you said with interpretation. If I'm not listening, I can't interpret anything. Mm-hmm. I gotta be listening. And other times communication is observing. Mm-hmm. Right? I should be able to observe things and be able to communicate, you know, because there's such a thing as body language.
Yeah.
First of all. There's also, like, listen, if your wife goes to ShopRite and you're watching the game, and she comes back and she walks through the door and she has like 6 bags in her hand. And then she walks back out the door again and comes back with 3 more. And then she walks back out the door again. If you ain't up off the couch by now, you need to sleep on the couch. Right? I mean, right. And especially if she starts walking like this. You should be able to see what that means.
Means you're in the doghouse.
Oh, yeah. And you know, right? And the worst thing, the worst answer you can get as a husband when you ask your wife, what's the matter? What's the worst answer?
No. Stop.
Thank you, Chief. PJ. See, she knows. No. The worst answer is nothing. What's the matter? Nothing. Oh, you're in trouble. And if you need to pick up on that, and if you don't know how to communicate with your wife.
Because you're not listening to her.
You ain't listening, you ain't watching, you just like, it's just...
Over your head. Yeah.
Right? So, the thing that we're talking about then, right? Talking, sharing, interpreting, listening, right? And what else, you know, and building relationships and communication, you know, requires some time being spent with one another. Because sometimes, you know, you can't communicate with someone if you're not around.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of marriages that fail because one or more of the spouses not around. You know, some families, you know, bad relationships between children and parents because, you know, the father's out there making a living or whatever, but not around. Mm-hmm. You got to be around. You know, you got to spend time. And same thing with God. If you're going to have a relationship with God, you're going to have a relationship with Jesus, you're going to have to talk to Him. Mm-hmm. But you're also going to have to listen.
True.
You're going to have to communicate. You're going to have to spend time. You know what I mean? You're going to have to do some of the same things that you would do if you want to have good relationships with other people. Right? Because it is something about relationships. So here, there were some who doubted. Some would doubt it because... You know, they were at different levels of their relationship with him. Now, let's get off of them. Let's go to question number 8. And it says, in what ways do you, and it's personal, right? In what ways do you sometimes hesitate to respond to the risen Lord? Because the implication here was some of them on that mountain were hesitant to respond to Jesus. And now the question is, in what ways do you, in what ways do we sometimes hesitate to respond to Jesus?
Not doing what he says, when to do it.
Okay, so by not obeying, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And someone says, and see, you know, many of us, and I know when I was younger, you know, I there's certain words that I didn't particularly appreciate. And the idea of obey, I don't know, maybe because I was a young black guy, you know what I mean? That bothered me. Don't tell me to obey. You know what I mean? And some people say, hey, you know, dogs obey. I've heard that before, you know what I mean? Talk about obedience and stuff like that. But how many of you know that being able to listen to God, does God know better than you?
Yes.
So the bottom line is, isn't it better to listen to those who have more knowledge, wisdom, and experience than you? Yeah. You can avoid some mistakes in your life. Isn't that what we try to teach our children?
Yeah.
As they come up and grow, we want to share with them and pass along to them the benefit of our knowledge and experience. And a lot of times they don't receive it. But you know what? When we were younger, we did the same thing to our parents. It just goes around. But as a parent, you want to share that knowledge and everything so that they can be better off. And, you know, I find that children who are more obedient or more willing to listen to their parents and to take advice and to take input seem to make fewer mistakes. All of us make mistakes. But you can avoid mistakes by listening to people. You don't always have to learn by experience.
That's true.
You can learn by following advice.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so God knows better than us. And so shouldn't we then listen to him if he says something should be done?
Yeah.
Right? Whether he speaks it to your heart or whether he speaks it right out of the word, right? You should, that's something we should obey. But when we don't listen, then aren't we having a problem receiving him as Lord? Right? So obedience is a key part. And the more we obey, the better off we are when God is speaking, because he knows better than we do. He really does. And we've all been there where God is telling us to do something or not do something that, okay, he tells us to do something that we don't want to do. You ever been there? Or he tells you not to do something that you really want to do. And you got a choice to make at that time, right? You got a choice to make. But God knows better. But when we don't follow him, it's like we're not receiving him as Lord, as the one who knows better, as the one who has all wisdom. We're not receiving him that way. And think about it, when your kids don't receive you, when you're sharing with them, it's like they're not receiving you as someone who knows better. You know what I mean? Oh, Dad, you don't know. Oh, Dad, that happened to you. That's not going to happen to me. And you sit there as a parent and you go, listen, life deals with everybody the same way. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I like when they say, you're old, so you don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And you've been there and done that.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right.
And it goes around in circles.
Yeah. That's exactly right. And you know what? I don't know if I was ever so disrespectful. I grew up in a different time.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I grew up in a time when, you know, when adult company came to the house, you went upstairs.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
You disappeared.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You knew that.
Yeah.
You knew that. Nowadays, adult company come up, kids sit in front of me.
Yeah.
Yes. Listening. There's no separation. There was such a thing when I grew up as the children's table.
Yeah.
At Thanksgiving, the adults sat at the table, and then there was the children's table.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They used to
say, right?
Yeah. Seed in my head.
That's right.
Yeah.
You knew. There was certain, you know. So growing up at that time, I don't think I would ever say to somebody, you're old, like you're saying, but I thought that. And I hear it now where people say, the kids now know, you old. Oh, man, you don't know what you're talking about. and yet with age, the Bible says that the gray head is wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because how many of you right now can look and say, man, if I knew some of the things
back
then.
That's
the
bad thing.
Yeah. That I know now.
Yeah.
I'd be unstoppable. Right?
Yeah.
I would be unstoppable.
Yeah.
That's why there's a saying that said that youth is wasted on the young. Because
yeah.
By the time you're older, you're tired.
Yeah.
You know how to do it, but you want to take a nap. You got the energy to go out and do it. Right? So you know, we have to, this by not listening, obeying, there's a value in listening to God because He knows better than us. Any other way that we fail to respond sometimes? We don't listen, we don't obey, anything else? What about doubt? Doubting His promises.
Mm-hmm. Not believing.
Right? If we don't believe what God says, right, if we doubt what He says, I'm not sure, then we're not really receiving Him as the God who says, with God nothing shall be impossible.
Yes.
Right? I need $1,000 by tomorrow. No way I can get that. With God, nothing will be impossible. You know what I mean? But and this is not saying critically, because we all battle with this. So this is not. No one should feel bad. We should just know, okay, God is speaking to us and this is how we are, and this is the things He's trying to get us past.
Right.
If you really believe I'm God, then listen to me. If you really believe I'm God, then don't doubt me. Right? When I make the promise, when you see the promise in the Word, believe it. And don't you know that when the promise comes, the enemy is going to try to take, it's going to try to talk you out of believing God for it.
Yeah.
Right? But that's why faith is a fight. This life of faith is really a battle. It's a fight. Because your spirit wants to believe what God says. Your spirit does. But there's a part of you that doesn't want to believe what God said. That's that part of you that wants to depend on itself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can do this. I don't have to wait, you know. And the enemy loves speaking to that part of you.
Mm-hmm.
You really don't have to do that. Right? Isn't that what he said like that? He came up to Eve, right?
Mm-hmm.
Has God really said, you know what, you can eat that. I'm just paraphrasing. But that's what he was saying, right? Oh, you can eat that food. Go ahead. God just knows when you eat that food, you're going to be like Him. Go ahead and eat that.
Yeah.
And then they ate, and we've been in trouble ever since.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So, doubting Him. What about this one? What about God says something, and you go check with other people? You ever do those numbers? Huh? Go get confirmation. Come on now. If God said it, that ends it, right?
Yeah.
It should.
It should, yeah, exactly.
Absolutely.
How you confirm God's word.
Right.
I mean, a higher power.
Right. Who's higher than God?
Exactly.
Right? Oh, no, I'll put the stamp on that. Oh, God said that? Well, wait a minute. Let me get out my stamp. No, your stamp is worth nothing. Amen.
Amen.
If God said it, But checking in with other people when Jesus has already spoken. And these are things that I think, like I said, we struggle with. But we can overcome them. But part of it is to know, first of all, that we can overcome it. You know, that we can get to that point where we can be more obedient, that we can listen to God more, that we can trust in and believe Him more. You know? But here's the thing. This is why we need each other, though. Because, see, we need other people around us who are moving in the same direction.
Exactly.
So that they can encourage us and we can encourage them to keep going.
Mm-hmm.
Because, again, God has created us to be in relationships.
Yes.
And, you know, and so we need to be able to you know, find like-minded people who are moving in the same direction. Right?
Is that why everyone says always stay with positive people instead of negative?
Well, I mean, I think that's, look, to me, I think that's much better, right? To be with people who are moving in a certain direction, who take on life a certain way, who are walking by faith, who are believing in trying to do good things.
Right.
Because otherwise, you know, the bottom line is, you know, what's the Bible say about corrupt communication? No, not communication. Yeah, about corrupt company. Or bad company, like corrupt good manners, right?
Yeah.
That as you deal with other people who are...
It rubs off on you.
Sure it does.
It does.
Of course it does. I mean, you know, we used to joke about this all the time. Years ago, my wife started saying, what in the world? And that became her phrase. Something would happen. What in the world? And at first, it would be something that was really, really like a shock. What in the world? Then it became like, you know... Then it became like simple things. You got a lint on your shoulder. What in the world? But it was her phrase.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? What in the world? Right? And next thing you know, the whole house was saying, what in the world? You pick up even what people say.
That's true.
When you're around them. And it happens subconsciously. I didn't choose. I didn't start saying what in the world by choice, but I had heard it so much that now when something came up, I hit my foot. What in the world? And it's the same thing, right? So if you're around people, you pick up what they do, you pick up their mannerism, you pick up what they say, you can pick up how they think. That's not necessarily a bad thing, but it puts so much importance on who you choose to be around. Because if you choose to be around people who are speaking positive things, well, praise God that some of those things will rub off on you. If you're around someone who says all the time, I can do this, as opposed to I can't do this, you're going to be better off. Because now when you meet a challenge, you're going to go, I can do this.
Yeah.
Why? Because you've been around people who say, I can do this. Right? And so, yeah, we need to be around people like that, and especially when we're at the point where we want to walk by faith.
Yeah.
And everything is coming against us. And so when I see you and you're struggling a little bit, it's not, man, this guy stopped believing. No, I shouldn't be like that. I should be about trying to lift you up, right, and get you going, because here's the thing. I'm going to need that one day, too.
Exactly.
Because all of us are going through. You found it?
No.
Oh, okay. All right. All right, let's look now. Let's go to verse 18. It says, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, I'm going to make up my own question. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. You heard what Jesus said? He looked at them and said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Not a long sentence. What for you means the most in that sentence that Jesus said? What means the most to you? All. Okay. All. Anybody else?
What means the most to you?
Huh?
Heaven and earth.
Heaven and earth.
Power.
Power. Okay. You can't choose every word.
One word.
I say heaven and earth.
Heaven and earth?
Because you can move the world. You can do a lot with that.
Mm-hmm.
You can help other people. You can do help yourself.
Amen. Let's start at the beginning of the sentence. Christian said all. Just announced that power. I like to put the two of them together. All power. All by itself.
Okay.
Don't tell me much.
Yeah.
What do you have? All. What are you going to say to me if I tell you I got all?
All
what? All what? As I come to you, I just go, power. You gonna look at me and go, company? I don't know. But when Jesus says all power, and then we go on, is given unto
me.
So all power is given unto me. What does that then mean when it comes, if the enemy now comes around you talking some stuff?
Well, it means that he has no power over us. Because the thing is, we gave the power to the enemy when we listened to him back in the mm-hmm. Garden of Eden. So now that Jesus gave us, you know, redeemed us, so now we have the power back. So sin had no dominion over us.
Mm-hmm.
So when he said he has all power, we are under him. So now it's like when someone's like, "Oh, I can't stop doing this." Jesus said, "Yes, you can. You have the power to stop.
Right.
I have given it for you. I mm-hmm. redeem you."
Amen. And that's a revelation that we have to constantly remind ourselves. Here's the thing: if Jesus has all power, the devil has
none.
No power, right? Because somebody can't have all and somebody else have some.
Yeah.
Right?
Right?
Jesus said, "I have all power." But it comes back to what you're saying. But if we don't watch it, we can then take a devil that has no power and give him power.
Yeah.
By not listening, by not obeying, by doing things we know we're not supposed to do. Then you allow the enemy to start exercising power. But he doesn't have it in the first place.
Yeah.
But I think the other thing is this, is that it's a liberating thing for us to understand that we have power. And I believe, and this is my belief, and we were talking about the relationship with God being personal, right? I believe, because of my relationship with God, that if I stand up here and God allows me to teach or to preach or to share, that the most wonderful thing or that I can do is to speak and teach about Jesus, right? But what also is so important is that words of empowerment are shared with people.
Yeah.
Because words that allow us to understand we can do things. Through God,
yes.
That we can be better, that we can break habits and addictions,
yes.
That we can overcome challenges and obstacles, that we can forgive hurts and insults and all those things, that we can rise above. You know what I mean? Those things empower us to move forward in life.
Yes.
And to me, one of the greatest things that you can do to any other human being is in some way is to empower them. There are kids all over that people talk about, you know, different neighborhoods, Brooklyn and Camden and Trenton and Compton and all these other, you know, places where they think that it's hopelessness. But I'm telling you this, because I've seen it where, you know, I've been a part of programs for young kids. Middle school kids who at that age are interested in the law. And they get into a program and I go and I speak with them. And to see them, and you know what I mean? And they're coming from the neighborhood. But see, here's the thing. There's a lot of kids in neighborhoods that people have given up on who all they need is somebody to tell them, you can do it.
Yeah, yeah.
They need someone to empower them. And to tell them and to show them ways to, you know, to deal with things in a positive way instead of a negative way. To how to solve a problem instead of causing a problem. That's what they need. And when you can do that, you can change somebody's life. Right? And so when Jesus says, all power is given unto me, that's an empowering thing for all of us who believe in him. And any preacher and teacher worth their salt should be trying to tell you and show you not how much power the preacher got,
amen. That's right.
But how much power your God has.
Amen.
See, but there are too many preachers and teachers trying to be showing you how much power they got.
Mm-hmm.
But whatever power you have, you got it from the one who had all power.
Amen.
So why are you bragging?
Amen.
How are you going to show off with my shoes on? You understand what I'm saying? You know,